I do feel like you glossed over the fact that
it's I did not.
You guys are glossy.
You glossed.
No.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Mustache Nolan.
And this is episode 234. Interesting.
That's weird.
That, no, we don't get hyped at 234. Maybe if it was 1,234, you could get hyped. Or 321, okay, you could get hyped. But 234 is right in the middle of the sequence.
Okay. Kenny, I'll give you something to get hype about. This is our first ever producer pool episode.
That is, in fact, hype. Huge way more hype than the number sequence.
For the very first time, we did a Patreon pool strictly for those that are at the producer level, simply because we've had an influx of those coming to the producer level at this point. And BroJim's game got picked, and we'll get to it shortly. But first, last week, I told you two on air about Amazon's new free-to-play. What are you laughing about?
Yeah.
Amazon's new free-to-play multiplayer third-person shooter called Crucible.
We're sharing this experience.
Hey,
now
we put in some hours together.
Mm-hmm.
What are our opinions?
We played
it's
this
a
game
trash
together.
Y'all,
chill.
Game.
No, it's not.
I have never had so little fun while having so much fun.
Wait.
Yeah.
Explain.
Yeah.
Well, I love playing games with you guys. Mm-hmm. I love playing games. I love the concept of playing games. I hated this game so much.
Why?
Partly because I'm bad at it, but partly because
I'll tell
it's
you
just
why.
A weird game.
I'll tell you why. Nolan? Yes, we're all bad at it. It's a new game. Mm. However, we played what? How many games do you think we played? I threw out the number 30, which I think is a little high, but
is a little high. I'd say we probably played 15 to 20.
20. And out of 20 games, we won. How many?
Two?
Maybe. I think maybe two.
Two. So,
bad.
Even
yes.
with a new game, there's a matchmaking system that should be in place to pair you with scrubs so you win every once in a while or feel like you're accomplishing something. Every game, steamrolled. And I never clicked with the character, which is huge for me, and I didn't win, and I got frustrated, and it's a bad game. Sorry, Bezos. Try again.
Jeff.
No, listen, it's a new game.
Yeah,
a new game, but it's too swingy. It's just, it's not a great game to play casually. I think it'll be a fun game to watch, like, truly competitive play of, but I don't think it's just a fun jump in and play casually game.
You know what we could play?
Anything else?
League of Legends.
Oh, gosh. Listen, we were playing week one.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't have been released worldwide in the form that it is. It's missing some crucial elements that these kinds of games need. Matchmaking, team chat, etc. But it has a lot of promise. I had fun pretty much the entire time. But I knew that you guys were not having fun, so it kind of canceled those things out. I found a character I like and I love and that I'm decent at. And then the boys won't play with me anymore.
I will give it a chance at launch.
It is at launch. It's launched.
Oh, I thought it was beta.
No.
It totally feels like an early beta game.
It was already out of beta. That was launched.
Then if you launch your game without an in-game chat of any sort.
It's Jeff.
I'm out.
Well,
I'm canceling my Prime membership, actually.
And sending all my Amazon packages back. I get it. I just think that it's a game that you can't just play one time. You've got to play it like 5, 7, 11, 13, 19. You got to play it maybe like even 787 times or other numbers specifically like those numbers that I just gave you.
Math puns are the worst puns.
Yeah.
Like in our retro game of the week, Metroid Prime.
I thought you were going to go with the Amazon Prime thing. Well done.
Overview.
Metroid Prime is a GameCube release that came out in 2002. This game was published by, big surprise, Nintendo. It was developed by a company called Retro Studios, which I believe is owned by Nintendo.
It's in your backyard. They are in Austin.
They're located in Austin, yeah.
Okay. I was about to go outside and check.
Have I missed a game studio in my backyard?
No, I know the phrase. I'm sorry. I missed it. So should we pay them a visit and thank them or
just open the back door, dude? I think they have done a select few games, but all of them have been regarded as great. So they're responsible for all three Primes. And then I think some of the newer Donkey Kong
Country games. Yeah. Tropical Freeze, baby. The one that I absolutely adore. Mario Kart 7.
Yes, they have a really small catalog, but it's quality games.
Okay, nice. Little Austin Pride here. Subsidiary of Nintendo. Great. So now you know Retro Studios and all that they've done. And now let me tell you about this game. So Metroid Prime is in the Metroid series, which is a massive franchise. I think fans really, really, really love Metroid, and Nintendo has not given us too many main title games. The interesting thing about this game is that before the release of Metroid Prime, again, which was a big deal for fans, we were looking at 2D screens, platformer, Super Metroid, if you've played it. It's a very popular game. You may have played it. We played the first one on the podcast, and we really, really liked it, and we were blown away by how ahead of its time it was. So this game is the first in the series to do 3D first-person perspective of Samus.
Which 3D stands for three-dimensional.
Three-dimensional.
So you're not just looking at a 2D sprite moving left to right. You're in a 3D environment a la Turok, GoldenEye, Turok. Halo.
Yeah.
Literally any Doom. Other 3D game.
Well, I know. You, like, we say this, though, and then shrug it off, but this 2D to 3D transition.
No one was shrugging.
Y'all were both shrugging. They can't see
shrug.
You.
It's 3D.
Exactly. You're shrugging. It's 3D.
No, it's a big deal.
The 2D to 3D transition is a really, really big deal that not everybody got right. There were some really terrible jumps to 3D.
Do you want to know what I would argue? Hold on. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to feel it out and see what I think about it.
Feel it.
Okay. I think that the biggest jump here in for me wasn't as much 2D to 3D as it was third person to first person. Ooh, let's think about that.
I mean, those are directly related.
Wrong.
Yeah,
wrong.
They are.
Tell me the last first person.
I'm going to. Oh, 2D game? Is that what you're saying?
First person 2D game that you played. Tell me.
No, I was going to tell you a third person 3D game. No, that would
I
want to
hear
reasonable.
About first person 2D games.
You don't know first person 2D games?
All that to say, it was a massive jump, and I feel like I don't remember because I wasn't super paying attention. I wasn't the biggest Metroid fan then. I am now, but I'm sure a lot of people were put off by that for sure because they were familiar with the classics. Super Metroid at that time was like regarded as a masterpiece. And so that I guess people wanted more of that. But you had to do the jump. I mean, it's GameCube. Like we skipped the 64 Metroid. Now we're on GameCube. Yeah, no N64 Metroid title.
You had to do the jump, but they were also smart enough to release this game in conjunction with a 2D game as well. So they were like, oh, we want to please all our fans. Now, this wasn't Retro Studios, this was Nintendo, but they were like, have both. And that's super wise.
Wise now in retrospect, but ballsy
still
in the
ballsy,
moment.
Yeah.
Again, 8 years since last Metroid release.
Yeah, it was 8.
While we're talking about their balls, can we also shout out the fact that this didn't happen on the Nintendo 64?
We can, like Nolan had said earlier. Big deal. They skipped an entire console and generation.
Right, but like intentionally. They were like, everybody's doing 3D and putting out games on the Nintendo 64. We don't feel like we figured out how to do Prime like this correctly. Like, let's wait. And that was such a good choice.
I mean, yeah, I think so. I think, again, in retrospect, it's a good choice. But because the N64, that would have been a rough looking Metroid game. But I think that, yes, releasing Metroid Fusion, which, by the way, I didn't mention, we did play on the podcast recently, like a couple
four
weeks
episodes
ago.
Yeah.
So you can check that out. Came out the same year. Was nice because it's an option. Hey, if you like the classic style, here's a really good handheld game. But also, we're about to change things with this major title.
And so it did not come out on the N64. It came out on the GameCube, and it is largely regarded as one of the best GameCube games of all time.
Isn't that
probably
crazy?
Top three in most lists, right?
Yeah,
along
absolutely.
With Wind Waker and Melee.
Absolutely, yeah. In terms of exclusives, absolutely top three for sure.
Still just crazy that a mainline title and comp at this point would skip an entire console, skip an entire generation, and wait a long time. But when it's in the hands of Nintendo, and when it is an IP that is this significant, at this point, you've got to trust them with it because they have proven themselves time and time again to know what they're doing. I'm not going to go through some of their IPs, but this being one of them. And here in 2002, we get the first one in 8 years, Metroid Prime.
Gameplay.
For those of you that don't know, Metroid is all about a guy in a spacesuit. Spoiler alert, it is a girl named Samus Aramis.
Named Zelda.
Named Mario. Samus Aran. And it is, which I appreciate, it is very comparable to all the other Metroids in the sense of you start fully powered up, coming into contact with some kind of alien species in space on a planet, whatever. And this one, you're on a space station, which was a lot like Fusion, actually. Oh my gosh, this one's a lot like Fusion. Something goes wrong, you lose your powers, and then you spend the rest of the game exploring the world or the environment that you're in and regaining your abilities. That is the exact same here. Samus goes onto the space station, it's derelict. Something bad has happened. There's this pterodactyl dinosaur that's from Smash Brothers that is there on the space station. Everything goes wrong and she loses her abilities. And then this time, what's unique, I guess, I don't know if it's unique, she kind of crash lands on a planet, Talon 4, and spends the remainder of the game there going through the different environments on that planet and doing what I just said, solving puzzles, defeating bosses, recovering her abilities.
You glossed over the fact that this feels like other Metroids. I mean, like you pointed that out, but I think that is their single biggest achievement from like a 2D to 3D game accomplishment, because it would have been so easy for them to deviate from what made Metroid Metroid. And instead, if anything, they just leaned into it as hard or even harder. They were like, what has this game done? Let's do that. And so it's exploration, it's recovering all your power-ups, it's tons of bosses. Yeah, it's exploration and like forward and backwards and getting access to different parts of the map with your new power-ups. It's the morph ball, which if there was one thing that was going to be kind of tricky to do 2D to 3D well, especially when most of it's first-person perspective and make it feel natural and good, it's going to be that. And they just stuck to those themes hard, hard, hard. And it feels like a Metroid game, 100%. You take other 2D to 3D, and this is a completely unfair comparison, but you look at, like, bad 2D to 3D jumps, Sonic. Those don't feel like Sonic anymore.
Excuse you.
No, they're
I'm with you,
so bad.
Speak for yourself.
They're so bad and failed really hard. But this game, that's not the argument. This game just...
They did not fail.
It's a Metroid game, and it's wonderful.
For me, the weirdest jump is being in the first person perspective and shooting from first person, because for me, I really love a solid platformer that feels smooth and I can shoot efficiently and accurately. And so that could have been so wrong for me. And it was at first. I have played this game before, to be fair here, but like even this week revisiting the game, I was like, you know, it's kind of foreign. It's slower than I like, you know, having to aim. But even that very quickly became natural to me, and it felt good. And I, again, like with the 3D perspective, you usually have a right joystick that you can use like on an Xbox controller to like look left and right. But with this game, you have a C stick, but they didn't use it for that. You use your left stick to walk forward, to turn left, and to turn right, which kind of is not the best for shooters. If you're familiar with PC shooters, you want to be able to strafe. But here, you can't really do that. And even still, I felt pretty in control of what I was doing.
So you can strafe when you're locked onto an enemy,
yeah,
a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
That's one of the mechanics. But yeah, so the hardest thing in this game, in this platforming game, action-adventure game, is turning around. Mm-hmm. 180
Final
degrees.
Boss.
If you're facing forward and want to face backwards, it might take a half hour for you to turn around be a little bit of an overstatement, over exaggeration, but just because you're moving your whole body, not just your head, not just your gun, you know, where you're facing. I had to remind myself over and over and over again throughout the entire week that I'm not playing a first person shooter.
No,
this is not an FPS.
No,
and it's not meant to be. And they didn't market it as such. It feels like it is, because that's the view when you've got a gun and there are first person shooter elements, but it is an action adventure puzzle platformer. That's what it is. And so it's more about, like all of these games are, it's more about the exploration. It's more about the puzzle solving. It's more about all of that kind of stuff over the first person shooting mechanics. However, those things are there. And so it is problematic. I think that is fair to talk about.
It's probably the most controversial part of the game, just because they really did lean into that. And that includes you not having free reign of without sort of manually going into that mode. You don't have free reign of where you're shooting. The primary way of fighting an enemy is to hit a button to target that enemy. But even that, to me, feels like an intentional choice, not only because not a shooter, but because they put so many other emphasis on sort of the experience. Like, you're in this heads-up display the whole time, and you've got things being targeted on the screen, and then your view is sort of jumping and locking to those things. And that would feel really weird if you weren't sort of in this suit that's assisting what you're doing. But the whole idea of, like, I'm in this armor, and it's helping me see enemies, identify enemies, scan enemies and figure out who they are, scan obstacles in the world and know what they do. It sort of all fit. And so I felt like, even though that's a sort of controversial, like, preference among people, like whether they prefer this style of game, I feel like it was super cohesive to the design of the game and the experience they were trying to give you.
In terms of, like, the feel of the game, or the category that you were saying, you said it's an action adventure game, like puzzle platform or whatever. Yeah. That's my favorite thing about this game. And I had a huge realization this week, and maybe one of the reasons why this is in fact my favorite Metroid. I didn't think it was, but I think it might be. Because it reminds me, and I get the same type of feeling so much, as playing a Zelda game, like a 3D Zelda, doing dungeons. Like, I felt like I was in one huge Zelda dungeon, and I was living. It's the best feeling to me that they merged somehow the feeling of that of Zelda and put it in here. So I guess maybe we can talk about some of the, like, puzzles that you're solving, or some of the rooms, because that was honestly what was just keeping me so entertained. It wasn't like, oh, I'm shooting, I'm first person. It was like, I'm solving puzzles and progressing.
Well, like other Metroids, right? You're using the upgrades that you've gotten along the way to solve whatever the next layer of puzzles are. So once you regain your morph ball ability, you're using that to not only navigate, but to solve the puzzles. When you get your upgraded beams, you're using those to solve the puzzles, and which is very comparable, identical even to the earlier Metroids, that you're using those upgrades to progress further in the level.
100%. And also stuck to the Metroid formula of hidden areas that you have to discover.
Yes.
Like, there's primary areas you have to go through, but the if you take the time to fully explore areas later and to, like, master doing things with your, like being the morph ball, but then, like, jumping higher with morph ball explosions to access little side areas you couldn't get to otherwise, they 100% utilize all of the options there to make it exactly the kind of game that the, the whole franchise is supposed to be. I love it.
Did that stress you out, Dustin, because you're usually a completionist? And I don't remember what Infusion a couple weeks ago, did you 100% it?
I didn't 100% it. I did beat it. Okay. But I didn't clear everything, because if you remember, Fusion was kind of very linear compared to other Metroid mm-hmm. games, and my saves all had me locked out of all of the yeah. rest of the places. So it was yeah. kind of very frustrating with that. With this game, it frustrated me. Not only that part, but I'll tell you what it frustrated me more. And I'd love to hear your opinion on this, Nolan, because I heard a little bit of it in your first play. I'm a completionist, and so I don't want to miss anything. These kinds of games, their pacing is like, it's pretty like keep up and move fast and move forward. And especially as you get more and more abilities, it's like, hey, move faster, move better. But when I'm having to slow down and bring up my dumb detective mode over and over and over again to scan everything in the world, it slows things down terribly, because you're not even scanning immediately. You've got your scan bar that you've got to fill up. And I don't even know if that counts to percentages. I'm confident that it would. It only makes sense that counts to percentages.
I don't know if it's like completing the bestiary or what, like if you do it on enemies, because I wasn't doing that, because you're in combat. Like, you don't have time to do that.
My understanding is that it's only scanning that they did for game completion. Like, to Ooh. Get your 100%, it's not about whether you explored areas. Missile it's about whether you scanned every single possible scannable item. And that includes Uh-oh. Bosses and mini-bosses that you can, like, pop up, kill them, and have forgotten to scan, and then you can't anymore.
Trash. Yep,
I'm looking here. Art galleries and different endings are unlockable if the player collects a high percentage of items and scan visor logs.
Trash. And I'll tell you why. Detective mode is trash in any video game. It's trash. Arkham games, maybe they did a good job, but it fits the brand. It's supposed to be there. He's a detective. Do not put it in a game for the sake of putting it in. Samus is not a detective. It doesn't really like fit lore wise, in my opinion. Maybe someone could argue that it does, but to me, that mechanic is the worst part of Metroid Prime. I don't need it.
Hard disagree.
No, I'm with Dustin. It breaks the pace up unnecessarily. You don't gain anything, and making it 100% is like
it slows it down, but it's optional. You don't have to 100% this game. You can run through, skip stuff, kill all the bosses, be okay.
I do.
If you want to. Yeah. Like, if that's how you're
Dustin's
playing, or if that's
pass
or
out.
Theoretically, if that's your first playthrough of the game, like, that's a valid option. Sure. You're gonna have an easier time if you find all the upgrades and do some exploration. But regardless, I think it feels natural because you're in a HUD and there's this whole robotic thing. And to me, I thought it was a really cool way of teaching you about the enemies. It made sort of your tutorial levels at the beginning make sense as they taught you things. It was an easy way for them to inject lore into the game. And it becomes an optional mechanic for the most part. And so to me, I thought, yes, it was a little slow at times. Yes, they probably put a little bit more emphasis on it than they could have. They could have sped up the bar. They could have made you scan slightly less items. But it felt to me like a really immersive adding feature, not a distraction. And I loved it.
I get it, and I wish that it did, but every time I come up against a new enemy, instead of blasting them, I'm going into my visor to scan them.
Let me get a closer look at this thing that's killing
hold
me.
Hold on, guys.
Let me get my glasses out.
And here's the main problem with me. It's not even the completionist in me that wants to get that 100%. It's this is where they put the story. These creators, Retro Studios, wrote an extensive storyline for Metroid Prime, and it's and even more story than what the other Metroid games have. I'm a sucker for story. Characters and story are my favorite. We don't have much character exploration in the Metroid universe. We have a little bit in Fusion, a lot more in Fusion, actually, than in some of the others. But story, we don't even have tons of in other games. But here, they jam-packed it with story. But if you're not scanning, you're not getting the story. So there really is so much story and backstory here that you're going to miss. And you can still have fun and play through the game and have a great experience. But if you want story, you're running, 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 stop, scan, slow, get the story, read, scanning, and then go so back often. Into it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I just gave up on it after a while, and I was fine. Like, yeah, that's only
you don't need it.
Only thing in there, yeah, that I was just and like,
I,
you know what?
And I think that's one of the reasons why it was implemented well, because it's optional. Like, if you want I'll buy the bonus of the things, go for it. If you don't, don't.
I'll buy
but that's the problem.
But you still have to open doors with it and stuff.
You still have to open doors, activate elevators, those kinds of things. But here's the thing. And it would have been nice if, like, you can scan bosses and find... And maybe it did, you like, tell, like, bosses. Weaknesses or different things like that.
It gives you tips.
I like the result, giving me story and information. I don't like the method, just because I think that it does change up the pacing too terribly much. Even if I would have gotten a visor upgrade, which I didn't, is there one that would have sped things up? Then that would have been nice, like instant scan.
Actually don't know.
Oh, that would have been really nice. That. At least not where I was in the game. Did you have one?
Yeah.
I know you get some other visor upgrades later, but...
Which what you're saying, so this is the longest Metroid game to date. When this came out, it was about 2 times longer than any Metroid game before it. I think you can complete it in 14, 15 hours, but before this, it was a lot shorter. I know Fusion is not fair because it's a handheld game, but that was a 4 or 5 hour game. Even your Metroid and Super Metroid is maybe 8, but again, this is 14 or 15 hours, just not even 100%, just to get through the story. Mm. So it's a chunky, chunky game.
One other thing I want to make sure that we hit on here is the boss fights in this game, because they are different than past Metroid games in that they are interactive, a lot more interactive than simply find out the boss's weakness or weak points and shoot it with either a missile or a charge shot or a thing. In this game, they made the fights interactive with the environment. So you can use the tutorial boss, but I'm going to use the first one after that. I think it's the first one, the plant little worm thing, where you're having to shine those solar panels on it or whatever to get it to like fall over so you can actually do damage to it or like a big hit. Like, I love that. Again, reminds me so much of Zelda, like Wind Waker. In Wind Waker, there's a boss where you use your grappling hook to pull on its tail and then you swing over some lava and it falls. Like, amazing. And in this game, I was really, really, really enjoying these interactive boss fights.
I feel like they kind of had to do that, and I'm not saying that as a negative thing, but just because of the type of game they set out to be, if these sort of big moment boss fights had been more just shooter-based, dodge the stuff, shoot it in the right spot, because you get that target locking and everything else, it would have felt a little rough. And so the making it puzzle-ish with your environment was super good. You also kind of glossed over it, but I thought they did an amazing
job.
Why
do you keep thinking we're glossing over things?
I don't know,
bro.
Because everything they do in this game I feel like is a really big deal, and this I want to highlight
episode,
all of it.
It's I ain't glossing.
No, it's he's been saying we're glossing and shrugging.
Why.
I don't know what the
here's
heck
why.
This boy thinks.
It's because I absolutely have opinions about this game that are probably clear that I'll try and mask because some big reveal at the end.
Suspense.
As if that matters. Yeah. The tutorial on this game was so well done. Not only setting up story and giving you a sense of the character and then getting you into the world, but teaching you how to do the things and yet automatically making you feel like you were in the game and in the middle of this action stuff. It did not take long for this game to take its like hooks of what it was about and sink them into me hard. Like some games, it's like you got to play for an hour before you really get the feel. This game, it was like, boom, go play. It's Metroid. I don't care that it's 3D. Here you go. And
yeah, what's great about it is that
so good.
You knew how to use the abilities before you got them, because you know you lose them at the end of the tutorial. So the whole game, mm-hmm. you're looking at your environment, and you're like, oh, when I get the grapple hook, I can get to that area. And so like you already are thinking that way. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Aged.
Fine wine.
Fine wine? Is that your summary for the age section?
Yep.
Kenny is liking this a lot more than I thought he would. In fact, I thought that he might not for various reasons.
Mm. I have in the past made very, very strong statements about shooter-based games that don't have the dual pad controls.
Right.
And I still generally feel that way in almost every case. The fact that this game wasn't dual stick, even though it's a post-Halo game, and right. still made me fall in love with it, should speak volumes about how well designed and crafted this game was, because there's some hurdle there getting used to it. And it certainly feels like it's a little dated versus expectations of how movement could be happening in this time. But it's GameCube controller where you don't truly have dual stick, even though
AKA
you get the
best controller
C button.
Ever.
And it's not like we've said, it's not a shooter. It's this action adventure, and they, for what it is, it's done perfectly, and it took a little while to adjust to it, yes, but every design was made with that in mind, and it's just such a gem.
I do feel like you glossed over the fact that it's not.
You guys are glossy.
You glossed.
No.
It's not dual analog, dual stick, and that makes it taxing, because it, especially a modern gamer going back to this game, it is a little bit foreign. But, and I'll compare it to these games I think I already mentioned, but like GoldenEye, where you don't have GoldenEye 64, where you don't have the dual stick. It, even when we came back to it a few months back, or whenever we did, I don't even know when we did, you have to relearn, because it's not control camera with one and control your person with the other. And that's such a good advancement in gaming, I think. It's one of the biggest ones in gaming. So when you come back to a game like this, a 3D game where it does not have that, it takes some learning, and it automatically makes your pacing a little bit slower. Now, when you master this, I think that people can probably move pretty quickly with this thing.
Yeah.
But for me, at the beginning of this, it took a while to get used to, and by the end of the week, I still don't have it mastered yet.
No, I still was finding myself hitting that right thumb, trying to change my view just out of habit, like even after getting used to it. But whereas, and these are both great games that everybody loves, whereas GoldenEye just drove me absolutely crazy and I never felt fully in control, this one, you get used to that trigger and triggering enemies, and give it just a little bit of time to get used to the controls, and it immersed me much more quickly. It was not nearly the deal breaker I also expected it to be for me. But it is a valid thing for people to realize is a hurdle when you're going back to games.
Yeah, I think they were smart, though. I think they were very aware of that fact. They were like, you know, some of these other games have that other stick. And so they knew about that hurdle and they handled it well, because what you see is you don't get overwhelmed by enemies, for one. You don't ever have to, like, really need to move your thing quickly. Maybe you do in some areas, but, like, it's not like some other shooters where it's just like, here's 30 enemies, have fun. So again, not a shooter. And so I think they just made the right decisions in helping that hurdle age well. And so I kind of just jumped right into it. I didn't feel that much of a hurdle. But I'm a god gamer.
Not at a Crucible. I will say, I think it is kind of a cop-out to not say it's a first-person shooter. It's not first and foremost. It's an action, but you are first-person shooting. And so and the whole week I felt that gap there. I think they did the best that they can without dual sticks. I just, you know what? If they would have given me a quick option to do a 180 turn and face the other direction, or maybe even where I could change the sensitivity of my movement. I don't know. I felt really blocky the entire time. And I know Samus isn't some kind of like stealthy ninja that is moving like crazy. She is like a brute armored force, you know? So I get some of that, but I just still felt really blocky, mechanic, slow moving. And although, yes, it's not first and foremost a first person shooter, it is a first person shooter because that's what you're doing. You're in first person and you're shooting. And so I still think that there was too much of a gap there and that it's hard, especially for modern gamers to do.
You're not shooting with the right trigger, so it's not a first-person shooter.
It's not first-person shooter, right
that's
trigger.
That's how you know.
No, that's a terrible definition.
So the 3D, we talked about this being first-person, obviously, but also the jump in graphical style as well. So did you guys feel that the graphics still felt new and polished after however many years it's been? A long time. 18 years.
They didn't feel new because by 2020 standards, like, clearly it's not a recent game, but they were absolutely beautiful for GameCube era and still held up easily.
That's where Kenny has found his new favorite game. This is going to be so interesting.
He's mad. That's how much he likes it. He's mad.
He's defending. This is. I did not expect this. He's defending Metroid Prime to you. No way.
It's true. No one's
back up.
No one says that he's come. Like, he's a huge fan of the series. He said he's come around and this maybe has become his favorite. And I'm saying he doesn't.
Kenny's
like
no,
enough.
It's not. It's mine.
This is amazing. I had no. I could not have guessed this in a million years. This is going to happen. I agree with Kenny what he said there, but it's not impeccable, but for GameCube, top of the line, I think, like you said, some 18 years ago, whatever it was, fully immersive, beautiful environments, very comparable to earlier Metroids where you have all of them, where you have different biomes. You know how that's a huge thing there. Yeah. You've got snow here. You've got kind of like
the lava areas.
You've got all of those here. So it feels very like that. I will say, to me, it's not as pretty. I think graphically, when you go to 3D, early 3D, it doesn't hold up age-wise as much as some of those 2D sprite-based environments. I think Super Metroid, probably even Metroid Fusion, again, not the fairest comparison, much more beautiful and holds up to today than this GameCube 2002 entry.
Yeah, but to me, they did a really nice job of it never felt janky. And it's really easy in this era to, and maybe we're a little bit past that, you know, like.
But still, I know, yeah.
This is Halo era, not like Nintendo 64 era. But it didn't have that. And some of that, I think, is intentional. It's not like bright and classic looking because they were trying to set this tone, and I think they set it really well. But yes, it's a GameCube game. Like, you're not going to be playing this in 4K.
Okay. Pixel art is the vinyl of gaming, and 3D Absolutely. Is CDs. And one day, kids are going to be like, whoa, CDs are really cool. And then this is going to be the top of the line. So
what
you just wait.
An apt comparison.
Thank you.
You did not gloss over that at all. Great job.
Or shrug. I didn't shrug once.
You didn't shrug. I will say, Finally. Guys, through the power of emulation, I started just at the end of the week because I just found out. Figuring out how to play this game via mouse and keyboard.
Oh,
which
no.
changes things up considerably.
Wow, you liked it a lot better, huh?
I just started into it. I mean, it is nice being able to play with a controller, but they've worked it through the emulation because you've got a big Prime community still.
Absolutely.
To make it work. So that was super interesting. If you're listening to this and want to try that, there are some subreddits out there, Reddit threads, you can figure out how to do that. Super interesting, though. If you do want a copy of Metroid Prime for your own collection, easy. $10, $20. Unless you want it new, then you're going to be coughing up $80, maybe even $100.
Thought it'd be more than
Kenny,
that.
Kenny, did you buy one?
No, but I had to try and stop you. I felt like money is your like conclusion statement, and I was going to be super upset if we talked about this game and didn't talk about the music at all.
Music!
At all.
There's no...
You glossed, Dustin.
I did gloss.
I will admit that I glossed there. Here's the thing with music, though. It's very more environmental mostly like there's not as much music tracks, right? It's more I guess there's other Metroid games too.
There's a bunch, and like,
and you're saying there's a bunch. I don't think
it's bosses. Dank. It's a dank OST.
Most
it's the same music that we've heard in other Metroid games.
Yes, they recycle a lot, but rethink and but sort of remaster, deliver like new versions of those things, and that's an amazing combo of like fan service plus freshening things up. And you're right, there's tons of ambience, but that's because that's what the game is going for, is this tone. So there's a lot of times you're getting sort of, I don't know, thematic stuff, but then you're also getting classic Metroid tunes all worked in throughout it, and I thought they just absolutely murdered it.
Yeah, it's I really liked it too. I was actually jamming to it on YouTube this week.
Still not as good as the originals.
Wow.
Don't gloss.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status. That's our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. What does Kenny go last? So
Kenny does not go first. It's my game.
Okay, Nolan goes first, and then I go second to balance it out, and then Kenny ends.
I'm
going to
balance it out. Okay. Okay. Detective Mode is trash. Okay, now that that's out of the way, this game is one of the best games ever. It's so good, certainly on the GameCube. I after this week, I didn't think I'd come to this conclusion. I now know that it is my favorite Metroid game. That's a huge statement, because obviously Super Metroid is the greatest game of all time, which it's not. I'm saying a lot of stuff, but it's very good. This game feels like a Zelda game to me. It doesn't have to you, that's fine. But for me, going through this game reminds me of playing a Zelda game for the first time that I really like, where you're constantly not dungeon crawling, but going through dungeons, solving puzzles. There's a trilogy. So Retro Studios, I think, wrote the whole thing. And then they're like, all right, this has to be more than one game. And so they made a trilogy. And now we're getting a fourth one by the same studio. And I'm so pumped. And everyone should play this game for sure. New Game Plus.
All we've heard of Metroid Prime 4 is the logo, right? Like, and it showed up one time.
Yeah, there's a teaser trailer that gave me chills too, but yeah. Okay. But all it is the logo, yeah.
So Nintendo had everything to lose with this one. And with a fan base as wide and probably opinionated as they were, they had to get this right.
Yeah.
And they could have completely not, but history shows us that they completely did. So this game deserves to be in some of the top GameCube games, if not the top. But it's on list as one of the greatest games of all time, just in general, often. I wouldn't put it there. I don't even consider it yet, and I need to give more time to it, because again, this is a much longer game than some of the other. Every Metroid game we played so far, I've beaten it the week of. In fact, every Metroidvania game that we played so far, I've beaten it the week of, because I've just been so obsessed with it.
Yeah.
This game did not pull me in like those, and I did not beat it this week. I do want to continue to experiment with it. I do like it, but I much prefer the other Metroid games we played so far. That being said, this game has a lot going for it, and I can see how it completely fit what Metroid needed to be to come to a 3D universe, and I think they did that so well. I don't think they did that perfectly. Again, I agree with Nolan with the visor, the detective mode, implementing story only through the text, although we do have some great cutscenes, but there's no voice acting or anything like that. Did they in later Primes, or is it always silent?
I don't know. I've only played Prime 1.
Okay. Well, so I do as well give it my vote for New Game Plus status, but still prefer the other Metroids that we played so far.
Did you get to Fendrana?
Come again?
Did you get to the ice area?
Yes, but that's where I stopped.
Okay, so I think it would pull you in after that. I really do.
Yeah.
Of all of the games that I have had expectations about, and then had them change. This one maybe was the biggest swing. I was not sold on the fact that this was going to work as a 3D title. I knew it had a lot of hype, but again, I was just skeptical. I've said some really strong opinions about the need to be dual stick once we are in a world where dual stick exists. And so in a lot of ways, I'm shocked that I liked this game as much as I did, but I absolutely loved it. Yes, there are some hurdles, but for me, every one of those hurdles was absolutely annihilated. And I feel like every decision this game made was cohesive, thoughtful, respectful of where the series was going, had been, but really thoughtful about where they wanted it to go. And if it's possible, I walked away with even more respect for Miyamoto and like his leadership and his insight like into what makes a good game. When you sort of read the story of how this collaboration happened and his influence and some of the decisions that he even helped guide, and it just is, it is Metroid Prime in the same way that a prime cut of meat means that it's one of the best. And like, it blew me away. I loved it. Sure, there's some things that may not be for everybody, but everybody ought to at least sit down and eat at this table a little bit, because so good. Absolutely new game plus from me. And I'm surprised by that fact, but it's the truth.
Favorite Metroid game of yours?
I have the same dilemma you guys have. This one's really, really, really good.
Nolan don't have a dilemma. No, I don't have a dilemma.
Boy.
I'm glossing.
You're glossing right now. We'll leave it at that.
Miyamoto Bestimoto.
Super is really, really good in just a like classic game kind of way. But this one's probably the best. It's really good.
Metroid Prime is New Game Plus certified. But what did you think? We had a lot of people write in. And we're going to go through them as we typically have, but we are going to do something different moving forward. We are no longer going to read each and every commentary or even note each and every commentary that comes in.
Because the problem is there's just too many of y'all.
There's too many of y'all, which is great. That's a good problem to have.
It's an amazing problem, and one we want to continue having. Like, by all means, send us in our commentary.
Send us in our commentary each and every week.
All your commentary belong to us.
And take a moment and write in and give us your notes, whether it's in Discord or email or through our website. And in the spirit of the show, we're going to do some kind of randomization each week and still deal with your commentary. So write in and you will have a chance of being featured on the show, but we just won't be able to go through all of them anymore. However, all of our community, if you do it on our Discord, will still be able to see your commentary. So please continue to still do that. It's still going to be an integral part of our show. Jake wrote in and said, I have never played a Metroid game, but when the game was selected for this week, I looked and realized I had a copy of it for GameCube.
Whoa.
Owned it? Time to give it a try. Honestly, this was not what I expected. I didn't get very far, about 10% in, but it feels a lot like a PG version of Dead Space. Tight corridors, tense music, and parasitic alien enemies. The graphics are impressive, the ambience and mood addicting. And the music is on point. I do find the controls at times a little clunky. I wish there was a quick turnaround, but overall, a title well-deserving of NGP status.
It's so fascinating to hear someone's perspective that's never played a Metroid game, that played this one, and then has a Dead Space comparison. Or Deep Space, I don't know.
Says Zelda comparison, boy.
Oh, no. Ooh. People will resonate with that 100%. I'm not worried about it.
Clint wrote in and said, this is one of a few games that I return to play annually, and every time I do, I fall deeper in love. Playing this week with headphones, I realized how masterfully the sound design was put together. You can hear Samus breathing, her feet hitting the grates, snow, or water. There are admittedly issues with it, from the controls to some fight sequences with essentially mandatory damage, but despite the few rare flaws, this is a gem in the archive of not just Nintendo's library, but for gaming history as a whole. If you don't give this game NGP status, I will make you all play the other Prime games as recompense.
Oh, we should have not given it.
We should have not.
I'm going to say, if that's our punishment, I may change my vote, because right. Bring them on.
Brojim said, this game is a love story. By the way, Brojim is the one that submitted this, so thank Brojim for letting us play this game this week.
Thank you, Brojim.
This game is a love story to game design. I would argue every decision from controls to level design to visuals was intentional.
Absolutely.
It is a masterpiece. Did they give did they have to give each beam a different animation and feel down to the X-ray image of Samus's hand?
Nope.
No. But they did. Yep. Did they need to include raindrops, fog, and reflection on the visor?
Nope. Hmm.
But they did.
Hey.
Did they need to come up with an amazing soundtrack to enhance the atmosphere yet maintain its roots?
They did.
Well, yeah, they kind of had to do that.
You know, they kind of did. He said that, actually.
We're both like, yeah, you need them.
The designers took one of the greatest side-scrollers of all time and put it into 3D. This game is utterly unique and deserves its accolades. Despite its flaws, it is art and a testament to the love and creators of Metroid that they had for the franchise in 1998.
Dude.
I will officially retire the use of the term Metroidvania since Castlevania's early attempts at 3D were nowhere near as good.
Wow. Castlevania 64, anybody?
I will say I 100% agree with Bro Jim. He summed it up perfectly, except for the fact that he possibly said this game had flaws. And in my mind, not.
No, honestly, though, Retro Studios is up. I am in love with them. They're up there with Rare, honestly. They don't have as big of a catalog, and came later.
But the highest quality. Few that they've done. I would much rather a company do a few and do them the best of the best.
Care so much. Yeah.
We had a lot of other people write in. I'll summarize them quickly. Hopefully I'm doing you justice, but last time. Garlisle, this game ruined FPS for me in a good way. Honestly, prefer it. Controls over traditional two-stick setups.
Ooh.
Interesting. That's a hot take. This game remains a golden standard of what a single-player first-person experience can be, and I feel only recently has the genre started to rediscover that magic. Zach, huge thanks, said once again, tried to keep it short, his email, but all of his emails end up being these long-form dissertations, which is great, but I can't read it all. He didn't have a lot of time to play this week, but loaded up his 101% 29-hour save to fiddle around for a bit. In two words, he would describe Metroid Prime as intensely satisfying.
Good
Connor
words.
Connor wrote in, and he said it's easily his favorite game in the Metroid franchise, a game he played most as a kid, having beaten it some 16-plus times.
Wow.
And he considers it the best game on the GameCube. Nolan, is this the best game on the GameCube?
No.
Saint Minister said the real miracle that this game pulls off is that despite locking down the combat and eliminating much of the abstract problem solving with the scan visor, it still feels tactical and often puzzling at the same time. George Washington says the controls are bad. Thank God this game doesn't resolve around combat, though he does love the game and considers Super Metroid to be the superior game because it has and will age better than Prime does.
He never tells a lie.
Yill Gaming says he compared playing Prime to sipping on an India Pale Ale, which is IPA, and calls it a masterpiece. Ramiel says Prime was his first Metroid game, and it was an incredible experience. It feels just like the other Metroid titles, from music to atmosphere to even the core gaming elements. It's a true love letter to classic Metroid. McBain said, if you like video games at all, this is a must play. Guy in the corner, the sound design and music are awesome, and they're some of my favorites of any game I've ever played. I mentioned it on his stream. He was one of those that streamed in Discord this week. But the only other game where sound design was as good is Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice.
That is
a good 15 years game difference, which we all know Hell's Sacrifice or whatever. And then Antonin said, I think it deserves New Game Plus, but I'd say anyone who likes FPSs should avoid this game. I'd love to keep playing it and finish it as the game looks amazing, but the controls kill it. It's not 1990 anymore. The game shouldn't play like Doom.
Imagine if that many people wrote in for bad games.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Seriously, every one of you for writing in. Continue to write in, and we will feature your commentary on the show at some point. But for now, we're going to put aside Metroid Prime, and we're going to select the next game of the week, but not randomly. For the first time back-to-back, we're doing a pool. Last one was producer pool. This one is our first Patreon pool of the summer.
Super hyped to get into our Patreon pool officially.
It is a pool party, a summer of pools. Pretty much every other week we're going to be doing this. So if you're not yet supporting us on Patreon, go to patreon.com/NGP podcast and find out how you can submit up to 2 games every other week to be featured on our show. For now, we're going to randomly select from that smaller pool.
Back to back pools.
Find out what game we're going to be playing for the next 7 days. We have games in here like Diddy Kong Racing, The Simpsons, Bart's Nightmare, Super Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, Elder Scrolls 3, Morrowind. Oh, whoa, my gosh. We've got Jet Set Radio and Beyond Good, Resident Evil 4, and many others. Randomizing now.
We're going from the hot tub to the pool.
The listener that submitted this game, I think, just has extra luck on his side, because I believe we've at least one time before pulled one of his games. So it was a game submitted by Macaulay McCulkin.
What? Again? Is that again? Four?
Three? I still 100% think that this person is actually Macaulay Culkin, and I'm going to stick by that in my mind forever, and I love
it. I believe it.
Thanks for listening to our show.
This is a traditional first-person shooter game that we're going to be playing.
Okay.
Developed by Crytek and published by Ubisoft. It came out first for the PC in 2004.
Ubisoft. Yeah.
I can, because that's actually, unfortunately, the correct pronunciation, guys. Yeah, but I know. It's terrible. I promise you it is.
I don't care.
I think it's because it's French. Awful. It's a French company, at least in part. I know. It's unfortunate. I don't like doing it. Anyways, it's the first in a series, and it is called Far Cry.
Oh, I know this game.
We're starting the Far Cry series. I've never played the first one. I think I've only played three.
I have. Like, I haven't played any of them.
Oh.
I just know of them. I watched my roommate in college play one of the newer ones all the way through. It was really entertaining.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty sick.
We'll see how it started out. It, again, PC. I'm pretty sure we'll be able to get this one straight from Steam or something like that.
I think so, yeah.
No doubt.
But Far Cry, Microsoft Windows, 2004. Thank you, Macaulay McCulkin. Patreon pool, let's play.
Let's chat. We have a Discord server. You can leave your commentary there, but also you can stream now. And a lot of our viewers are streaming the game of the week, and it's pretty fun to watch. So come be a part of that. Just go to ngppodcast.com and click join us in Discord.
You can also join us and a growing number of people who support what we do, making this show, on patreon.com. Just like our newest patrons who decided this week to jump onto that bandwagon, including Anthony, Ramiel, Josh, Dan, and Donnie Penisburger.
Hey, that's
I can't promise that any name you send us we will say on the air, but
but that one's pretty good.
Anatomically correct is accessible, like, apparently. So
thank y'all.
Thanks for supporting us on we appreciate it.
And also, we don't make fun of people's last names or heritage. So whatever your last name might be, Kenny will say it.
Maybe.
Shout out to the Penis Burger.
We didn't have to say it twice. Now this is PG-13.
Oh, we got striked. Okay.
Also, an extra big thank you to Michael, who joined us at the producer level of support this week. Whoa. And joins a huge cast of producers, partly who wanted it on this producer pool action, I think, but partly who are just really loyal listeners who hang out and give us feedback, and we're so appreciative of all of you. That list includes, in alphabetical order, Amarly and Austin, both Bens, Bro Jim, Chris, Dear Baby, Garlisle, Corey, Maxima, Mr. Lattes, Shauna, Zach, and Zion. You guys are awesome, and we're so thankful for your support. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome. And Michael, welcome to that crew. Also, I do think for future episodes, both Bens deserve their own names to be stated separately. Just saying.
Three Bens.
Don't gloss over it. That's the last time I'll bring that up.
You shrugged that one, Kenny, for sure.
Find us on our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Those links are in the show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Far Cry. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm still Glossy.
Nolan.
And this has been New Game
Prime.
Plus.
didn't think about that.
I should have gone with Amazon Prime, but I was already stuck on getting these Prime numbers out there.
It was pretty good.
Do y'all know your Prime numbers?
Yeah. No. No.
Kenny probably does.
I know one.
I feel like...